Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 149 of the KISS Army Nation podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Pasquale Vary.
And I am Claudio Spera. Welcome to the show, everyone. Originally from Brooklyn, New York, but raised in New Jersey, our guest tonight is extremely well-known in the KISS camp. With extensive credentials, Brian worked as a staff photographer for Metal Forces magazine in the UK for 5 years and had photos in various other magazines such as Hit Parader, Metal Edge, Amphor, and many more. As for KISS, he ran a KISS fanzine called KISS Classics for 4 years. And as if this is not enough, Brian is the CEO of Rakaiz, a platform and YouTube channel that is well known for being your window into the soul of music. KISS Army, please welcome our friend Brian Rademacher. How are you doing, Brian?
How you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Good.
Brian, I got to tell you, the one thing that is on, every KISS fan's mind is after the end of the road, what happens next? But you know what? This is what happens next. This is amazing. Right. Meeting new people, KISS fans, fans that are related to KISS somehow. This is fantastic. So once again, thank you so much for being on the show. This is going to be fun tonight.
No problem. It's a pleasure.
So speaking of meeting somebody new, let's talk a little bit about you. So tell us, who is Brian Rademacher?
I was born in Brooklyn. I lived in Queens till I was about 5 years old. Then I moved over to Kearny, New Jersey. Now I live in Woodbridge, New Jersey. I was just a music fan. I just a plain old music fan. I did photography in school. I just kept at it and stuff like that. I got my job at Metal Forces there was a writer named Dave Reynolds who came over to the United States. He was from the UK. And he was a writer, but he needed a photographer. So that was me, So I ended up going with him everywhere. I'd do the pictures and he'd do the writing.
So you're a very successful photographer. When did it start for you?
Probably in 1975.
Okay.
In school when I first started. And actually, I failed. I failed photography. Because, as you know, in school, when you're a kid, you want to do what you want to do.
That's right.
You don't want to do, like they say, take a picture of texture. So this is always in my mind. I got an F, texture, so I took a picture of cement. I don't know what texture is. I want to do concert pictures, not cement. So I enjoyed myself, even though I got an F, and look where I am now. I'd love to see that teacher.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
So as a kid, wanted to be a photographer, was it for the love of photography or was it to meet, rock icons for you?
Yeah, more like that.
Really?
I just wanted to meet people and, enjoy myself. The worst part is sometimes you don't want to meet the people you idolize because you don't want to be let down.
Yeah.
But if you don't get to meet them, you'll never have that chance again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I just did what I could do.
So how old were you when you studied with photography? Of course, you had it at school, but when did you get really serious about it?
Yeah, I would say probably around 78, 79. I started doing club shows first, all kind of clubs I could get in. Naturally, you couldn't get in without a camera. But since I had my friend Dave Reynolds working with Metal Forces with me, I always had to end because the owner of Metal Forces, Bernard Doe, he would always call the club or whatever and say, we're here and we want to do pictures. Please let Brian in. So it worked like that.
Brian, you made the link, between photography and music, of course, and rock music. So let's talk about a little bit of music now. So what were some of your favorite bands and artists when you were in your teens?
Right. In the teens, I say probably the biggest influence was probably Alice Cooper.
Okay.
He started it all off, but then I got into like the Ramones, New York Dolls, Bowie, things like that, and then I progressed to different stuff. And like again, when I worked for Metal Forces, I had to learn music I didn't really like, but that's where they sent me. Like, I'm going to go shoot Armored Saint or, whatever bands, death metal, but I had to go because that was my assignment.
How and when did you get into KISS?
KISS, my first show I saw in 1975 at the Capitol Theater in Passaic. They had a matinee and a night show, so I went to the night show. I didn't go to the matinee. And that was my first time seeing KISS live.
That was during the Dress to Kill tour?
Yes.
Ooh.
That was amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow. So what are your memories about that show?
The Candelabra.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when you're close, the pictures you could get of back in the day were just amazing because they were so flashy and it was really good, so I had a ball.
Wow.
So you mentioned that you like Alice Cooper. Is that what you look for in your favorite bands, the theatrics, especially for your photography?
Yes, tell you the truth, yeah, because even when I had to do death metal, I was hoping they wore makeup,
right?
Because I don't know, I'm drawn to that and it looks cool. So I enjoyed, theatrics. Even Bowie, he would wear makeup, not the kind like KISS got, but, stuff like that. And then, when I got into the Ramones, it was really good. I enjoyed myself.
So is that what got you into KISS? Was it theatrics? Was it the theatrics over the music, vice versa, or both?
I like both.
Okay.
When I saw them on Mike Douglas, I loved the music and I loved the show, they worked in comparison with each other, so I loved it. I really did.
And what were some of your early memories of your KISS experience as a young child or a teenager?
Well, I know me and my friend Bill DeMild, we went down to SIR Studios in New York and, got to hang out a little bit, mainly with Gene. And Gene was very cool back then. I don't know how he is now, but back then he was really good. He'd invite us into the studio, and there was like a long, long table, and we had tons of stuff to sign and stuff. He said, just lay it on that table, and I'll just go right down and, sign everything for you. And when he got done, he asked me where our store was. So he thought we were selling it, but we weren't,
So this is back in the early 70s?
Yeah, later, a little bit later.
Okay.
We hear so many stories from our guests who were in New York back in the early 70s, mid 70s, and running into the band on the streets, hanging out with the band. Man, those were the good old days.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. Matter of fact, there's a book coming out probably this year. It's called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. And it's written by Gene Hunter.
Yeah.
And he's going to tell you all the ins and outs and all the dirt and all the good parts of music and all the bad parts. And that should be out this year.
So you're involved with that book, right?
I'm not part of that book, but Gene's a very close friend.
Okay.
So, he goes back pretty much with KISS.
New York Fury.
Yeah. So, he's a good guy and so is his wife.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yep.
And Brian, as we said in the introduction, it is well known that you created and run the KISS fanzine, KISS Classics, for several years. So how did you get started with such an ambitious project?
Well, actually, it was a bunch of friends, Bill DeMild, Jack Dorman, and Joe Morante. All of us were close friends, and we all loved KISS, and we wanted to do something. So we started that in about 1987, and we'd put out one issue every other month, and it lasted about 2 years. So, it was a lot of fun. It was challenging, because doing a fanzine is not cheap, you know, and but we enjoyed it, you know, so we kept it up for 2 years, and you know, it was time to move on.
So you know, besides the fact that we're sharing, you know, this project with friends, what was the main goal of creating that fanzine? Was it to connect fans from other places? Was it to get yourself known in the KISS camp, or simply a way to express your love for the band?
Mainly express our love for the band, but it was also that, you know, when we did interviews, we got to meet them. Or they would call the house and do the interview. So, like, you know, and then they were coming to town, you would get in touch with them. You say, can you give me some passes because I want to do photos? They would take care of us, things like that. You know, mm-hmm. So it was all basically not to be their buddies, but to do a job and get more familiar with them as people.
That's actually how you what you guys got. So did you have many, many chances of being with them? And I wouldn't say maybe become buddies, but you were really close to the band during those days?
Yes, pretty close, yeah. You know, I got to meet them all and hang with them. And when they did Nassau Coliseum, when they did Madison Square Garden, when they did Brendan Byrne Arena, we would all be guests to get to go to the show.
Nice. Mm. So you're talking about the non-makeup era, right?
Both.
Okay.
We did Dynasty. I photographed Dynasty. And, you know, I also photographed the Palladium show with Eric Carr.
Oh, wow.
My God.
So, like, you know, matter of fact, some of the pictures I took of Eric, his sister made a trading card, like, pack thing, and to use some of my shots on the trading cards. So it was fun.
Brian, I want to understand the timeline regarding your photography. So as a young teen, you were learning photography, and then you ended up being a photographer for Metal Force magazine in the UK. So right. How exactly did that happen?
Like I said, Dave Reynolds, who was a writer, you know, I contacted the publisher, which was Bernard Doe, and I would first donate pictures for free, like no charge, just to get my name in the door, you know? And he suggested, why don't you be our staff photographer? And I jumped at the chance. I said, sure, because I get to go to a lot more shows and, you know, enjoy myself, and Dave Reynolds would help out, and that's how it really worked. And like, they would send me all over, you know, to Boston, Rhode Island, everywhere. Yeah. And, you know, it really was enjoyable.
So basically you were sent from location to location. Did you have a say in what you wanted to photograph? You following certain bands?
You know, if I wanted to see something like a band, like say Femme Fatale or whatever, and I would just call Bernard and say, I want to photograph this. He says, okay, I'll take care of it. So, okay. Like, yes, I had my choice, actually.
Okay.
You know? So it was fun.
And you know, as a young teen learning photography, what was your goal as a photographer at that time? Did you ever think that you'd be working for a prestigious magazine?
Not really. Not really. I just did it because I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still doing it now. You know, I photographed a photo session like a couple of days ago. And I got another one coming up with a band called Plush. It's all girls. Yeah. So I'm photographing
them. Oh, yeah, we know Plush.
Yeah, I'm going to be photographing them in a couple of days. And, you know, whatever I basically want, since I'm in this field so long, a lot of these PR people know me. So, like, once I ask for stuff, oh, yeah, you got it. Don't worry about it.
Wow.
You know, I want to bring a writer with me. Okay, we'll take care of him, too. You know, so like almost anything I want, you know, I pretty much get, you know.
So people come to you or you go to them?
They come to me.
Nice.
They come to
you
me.
You know, you've made it when that happens.
You wouldn't believe the amount of emails I get per day asking, can I help out? 100, 150 emails a day, maybe more. You know, I just can't do it all. So I listen to everything they send me. But I decide what I like, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's how it works.
That's impressive. And Brian, so, you know, I know that maybe we're going a little bit off script, but this is great. So more on your photography. So were you involved in doing just the live photos or also photo sessions with bands and stuff?
Yeah, I did that. Actually, in the beginning, I used to invite the bands to my house. And I put a sheet hanging up on the ceiling as a backdrop, right? And they would just stand in front of the sheet, and I would do the pictures right in my bedroom, you know? So, like,
oh my God.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. And especially what's funny is some of these bands around, and I show it to them, and, like, you know, they're blown away. Yeah, I remember that. We're in your room, and, you know,
we went to your place.
Yeah, it was really impressive. It's cool, you know? So,
nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Brian, on the same token, so we talked about, you know, metal forces and stuff, but you also, some of the huge rock magazines use your photos, like, you know, Hit Parader, Metal Edge, you know, Amphir. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? So, because we were talking mainly about Mega Forces, but what about those other magazines? How did you get in there?
I actually had a manager. So his name is Frank White, and he's renowned. He's huge, a huge photographer. But he's such a nice guy, and he's from New Jersey. And anytime I saw a band, he was in the photo pit, and I was outside the photo pit. But I'd still be able to take pictures. And so he kept on contacting me, saying, oh, you got pictures of this? Can you get pictures of this? Can you get, you know, so like, and then he would, since it's like negatives and slides, it wasn't digital yet, he would take all my negatives and slides and go over to New York City and shop them to Hit Parader, Circus, stuff like that. Actually, he took a little bit of a cut out of the money I made, but I was happy to get in the magazines. You know, that's accomplishment for me. You know, so he did the work.
Right.
You know, I did the pictures, he did the running around. You know, and he's still doing it now. You know, he's still contacting me because he just put out a New Jersey metal magazine, like a book, and he used pictures in that book that were mine. So, like, he's still cool. Mm. You know, still cool.
You know, Pascal, I don't know if it's the same with you, but to me, this is a because I remember running, looking for those magazines,
right,
and seeing, you know, Brian's name all over the map. And now we're talking to you.
Yeah.
This is amazing, man. This is incredible. This is incredible.
Yes, it's a long time, but, you know, we made it. You know, we made it. You know, so you guys must be enjoying doing the podcast yourself.
Oh, yes, we are. Big time. Right? Big time. Big time.
So how'd you hook up in doing the podcast?
It was myself and a friend of mine, Andy Moyen, that started it like 4 years ago.
Right.
And he ended up leaving after about 10 to 12 episodes.
Right.
And we were also doing discussion panels. And Claudio was one of the panel guests on the show. So once Andy left, I asked Claudio if he wanted to join us. And he's been on, you know, ever since. A fantastic guy to work with. We're a fantastic team. And, you know, this podcast is such a high for us. Like I said early on. It's a great opportunity to meet people. The people
right.
we have on, we are fans of these people. We are fans of their work, and it's fantastic to promote them. It's fantastic to meet them, and then to see them in person afterwards. It's like we're buddies. It's like we're friends.
Yeah.
You know, KISS for me, speaking for myself, has always been about the connections with other people.
Right.
And now that KISS has hit the end of the road, where we can get those connections through this podcast.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. I tell you, I made a lot of friends doing the KISS conventions.
Yeah.
You know,
of course.
I
right.
mean, you know, Joe Marshall, naturally Bill DeMild. I mean, I met so many people. It was like just a gathering spot for us to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we sell merchandise, but just to talk and get to know each other and see them face to face, you know, Gilda, all these people, it was phenomenal. You know, it's really special.
Yeah. Have you done the KISS cruises?
No, I never did. I want to. And I also want to do the Monsters of Rock cruise, too. That looked really cool, too.
Oh, yeah, it does.
That is the ultimate way to meet music fans, these cruises.
Yeah.
The ultimate.
Yep. Yep. It's I mean, after I see the pictures on like Facebook and stuff, I said, man, I should have went, but next year.
Yeah,
That's right.
Next
That's
year.
right. Pask, I wanted to share with you that this is incredible, such a small world. Brian, I am originally from Argentina, from Buenos Aires, and some of my closest friends are the guys from the Kiss Fever magazine that you helped them. So, some of those guys that they were releasing, they were putting together a fanzine, the first one in Argentina ever, had many, many pictures from Brian. So, such a small world, unbelievable.
Cool. I have all them issues yet. I never got rid of them. I kept them all because my name was in there, and it was great looking at, the whole magazine.
Yeah,
it was nice. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It was nice.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Every time an issue would come, I'd go through it, looking at it, and seeing everybody else's pictures. A lot of fun. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the million memories that you must have, do you have some stories of some special acts that that you took pictures of and something happened, or maybe a story related to Kiss or to Eric Carr? I don't know, something that you want to share with us?
Well, Eric Carr was one of the best. His sister don't live far from me, and maybe once every couple months I'd stop over her house and we'd talk about Eric and stuff like that. A real memory was I was with Bill DeMiles and we were at the Spectrum about 1988, and we were backstage and we were with Simmons, and Gene goes, come with me. So me and my friend Bill went with Gene, and there was three seats, like an audience, and Ted Nugent was on.
Okay.
Gene was jumping on the chairs, saying, Ted, 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 Ted. And like he was enjoying himself until people saw him and recognized him, and he ran back in. And that was it. That was cool. That was
wow.
Cool.
Wow.
So, and a lot of other memories, like visiting George Suet at his house, having dinner with Bill O'Coin.
Oh, wow.
Seeing a lot of merchandise from Bill O'Coin that he had. There were special moments, not just with Kiss, their PR people and managers and stuff like that. That was really cool.
Wow.
So I enjoyed myself.
I want to go off script for a second as well, because Brian, you seem to really know the ins and outs of the business because you were there.
Right.
So I'm curious, what are your thoughts about the Pop House acquisition?
I guess it's good for Gene's pocket, So I don't know what else they could do with it. It's the end of the road. Like, the only thing I could think of is taking that music, using it for commercials, things like that. Cartoons maybe, and who knows what's gonna happen with that. But the Avatar thing, I really don't think will make it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, it's totally ridiculous because you want to see the band live. You want to see the energy, and with Paul and everybody, and seeing an Avatar, I just don't get it.
Speaking of the end of the road, have you been to the shows in at Madison Square Garden in December?
No, I didn't go.
No, you didn't go. Okay.
No. Okay. No, I didn't go.
Okay. So, did you celebrate the end of the road? The final shows in any way?
Not really, because I, I'm always working. I don't have the time now.
Right.
And stuff like that. And see, it's completely different from seeing them from like 1975 and all the original members. I still listen to them and stuff like that, but like the appeal is not there for me no more.
Okay.
Got it.
I'm not saying them other guys ain't good musicians. They are. It's just that I lost my passion for the newer Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I like the old stuff. I like, all the stuff with Peter and Ace and stuff like that. Eric Carr was amazing. Vinny was amazing. But it really took a downturn after that.
Okay.
You know.
And have you seen any Ace Frehley shows?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. Because Richie Scarlett, who was in Fraley's Comet and stuff like that, and John Regan, God bless his soul, they were all my friends. Personal friends, not hi bye, personal. You know, so like anything I wanted, you know, it would happen. You know, like when they did the Fraley's Comet reunion thing, I was there. Richie Scarlett, when he's working on solo stuff, he invites me up to North Lake Sound, the studio up there, you know, to hang out with him and listen to the music, the new stuff. And John Regan was like just an unbelievable person. And they're doing a memorial for him coming up soon, which I will go to. You know, I will honor him and see his family and all my friends and Todd and you know everybody else and Pat and you know it's gonna be an emotional day.
Of course, of
Yeah, he was
course.
an awesome person.
Yes. You know, I went to the funeral. Yeah, it was tough. You know, it was just like funny that I was sitting like close up at the funeral and stuff like that. And next to me sitting there was Peter Frampton, you know, so like we got to talk a little bit, but really it's not, that's not the place to, you know,
Of
get
course.
involved. Just, you know,
That
pay your
was not the
respects.
moment.
Yeah. Pay your respects and, you know, say God bless.
I don't know about you, but upon hearing of his passing, I was shocked. I had no idea. Apparently it was sudden, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was so sad to hear that.
Yeah. It was, unbelievable, you
Yeah,
know,
an
because like
amazing
I,
musician, amazing man.
yeah, you know, and it's funny because like I only talked to him, maybe 2, 3 weeks, before his passing.
Before.
And we're setting up an interview actually for us to do a podcast with him. I still got the message on my phone,
Oh
you know,
my.
from him and stuff like that. So,
Wow.
you know, it was touching, you know. So,
So, Brian, I want to switch gears a little bit because you mentioned podcasting and how we got into the show, the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I want to ask you now about Rock Eyes. Now, my understanding is that, yes, it's a podcast, but it's more than a podcast. It covers a lot more than what a regular podcast would normally cover. Is that true? Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I do. You
So, what
know,
does it cover
because,
exactly?
well, with new bands, we try to make people familiar with them. Okay. People who I know, like I said, the PR people, since I get so many emails, I listen to just about all the music that I get the emails from. And if I like it, since they're not well known, I give them a forum, you know, to speak their mind and tell people about the band and about their music. But like other people, like say Todd Howarth and stuff like that, they're basically like my friends. So like we just bullshit, you know, just talk and you know, and he's coming down from the memorial and stuff like that. So like I'll get to see him for a little bit. And basically it, I do it too if that band is coming to town and this way they get a plug in for the show. You know, so like they'll say, oh, yeah, we're playing this show coming up, come see us, you know, so it helps them out by,
Promote.
you know, so it was, it's cool,
So
you
your
know.
show's been around for what, 10, 12 years? So how did it all start for you? What was the idea behind the project?
Well, it was getting difficult, to keep up with Rock Eyes between nobody wanted to do CD reviews. Because they're not easy to do. You know, I mean, you don't listen to an album once and write a review. You got to listen to that album over and over and over again to get the full brunt of the disc, you know? And one of the hardest things, but it's appreciated by the artist that we tell the truth. You know, I'm not sugarcoating it. You know, if I don't like it, I don't like it. That don't mean other people don't like it. I'm just saying, I don't like it, you know, but a majority of the stuff always positive, you know, always positive. And, you know, and I make friends then, you know, unless it's a bad review, I might not make a friend.
But you go in depth with this review. It's not a matter of, oh, it sounds good, it's catchy, good song, good album, let's move on. It's very in depth, your reviews.
Right. Well, yeah. I do, even when I do my podcast, I do at least minimum 2 hours of research before I do an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Minimum. I'm sure you guys do it too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right? It's not like, oh, you know, we're going to do an interview. Just come on and we'll, you know, talk. No.
Right.
You got to
right.
know your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, what's the first album they put out? When the band started? Were they in other bands? You don't know if they want to talk about that, but you ask anyway. You know, they could always say, oh, no, I don't really don't want to talk about that. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, you know, and then whatever's coming up, if they got shows coming up, we let them, you know, talk about that. Talk about their set list. Everything. Did they got any pyrotechnics? Do they got, you know, whatever they want to talk about, we will.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely got to do the research to find out information about the person and the band.
So Brian, so we basically we discussed, you know, your podcast and stuff, but also, you know, you're running you know, rockeyes.com, which has a lot of information, right? So what you were saying before, like you know, CD interview, CD reviews, even concert reviews, there's
right.
other interviews with people that are, you know, full text. So that's quite impressive. How do you keep up with that? So is it just yourself, or you have a team working with you? So how do you run it?
Well, my main writer, who is our staff writer, senior staff writer, is Mark Ballo. And like anytime, like it's like kind of like me and Dave Reynolds from Metal Forces, but it's just switched up. Mark would do all the reviews and the live concert reviews, and I would do the pictures. He'd send over the live review, and I'd add the pictures to it, and that's how we do it. So that's how we've been doing it for the last couple of years.
Okay. Okay.
You know, so without him, and he also does editing for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, he's a big part of, you know, Rock Eyes.
I guess you will agree with us that, you know, the current offer of music podcasts is quite significant these days.
Right.
So what would you say is kind of unique about Rock Eyes, about your podcast?
Right. I would say just find bands that people might enjoy, you know? Find new bands, not established bands, but new bands, and give them a forum to get their name out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main purpose, and always was the main purpose of Rock Eyes. Even though we had carte blanche and so much stuff and passes and this, we got invited to Rocklahoma. We got invited to Melodic Rock Fest. You know, John Kibble show we invited to. So like, you know, and all the time. I just did a podcast yesterday and I posted it with Bob D.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first saw him live, I don't know how, you know, he just invited us. Come down, I'll take care of you. You know, just you know. And, so, and I didn't know nothing about him. But I liked the music. So we went to New York and saw him,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's a lot of fun most of the time. But when you get an artist that says okay to the interview, but really don't want to talk, they don't want to talk.
that's
difficult, you know. Like you, no matter. Like we did an interview with Rudolf Schenker, Scorpions.
Uh huh.
And I don't know if it was because he didn't know the English language well, and like everything was okay. Yeah. No. Yeah. Like,
tough.
Give me some information here, man. You know, like, you know, is it like? I didn't even post it. I didn't even post the interview.
Yeah.
You know, it was that bad. You know. But a majority of people have plenty to talk about. So, you know, so it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried to get some of the guys from KISS on your podcast or some, you know, the inner circle or the close family from those guys?
I'm sure we can. I just, you know, we haven't yet. You know?
Okay.
I will reach out, you know, and you know, maybe it's time for us to get one of them on here,
Mm-hmm.
you know. So, but, you know, everything's, you know, a lot of fun, you know, learning about KISS in the beginning, where they lived, where they went to school, everything. Like, you know, when you're a KISS fan, you want to know everything.
That's right. Yeah.
Everything, you know. There's a new book coming out that Ace Frehley wrote with Ken Sharp.
Yeah.
And that'll be coming out. I helped on that book.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. There was two books that just came out. I think it was Sweden. Two books came out, and I worked on them with them. I started doing my own book, but it's too difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, there's too much to cover. I don't have time to really put my thinking hat on, you know.
Yeah, it has to be, you have to be, have a lot of time available and fully committed, you know, to get on board, you know, just for that.
Yeah. I'll show you something that I got from a coin. I think you'd like it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Right.
This ain't an 8x10. This is big.
Yeah, I can see that. Right?
That came from the KISS Museum, which this was a coins. So, like, this is something special for me.
Wow.
Especially since it's an original. You know? So, I still got a little collection.
Wow.
Mainly more rarer stuff than mm-hmm. Common stuff. Mm-hmm. You know? And how are you guys' collection?
Oh, boy. I live in a condo, and when I first started collecting, I wanted to keep everything in the room, and it's basically right. exploded out into the condo. Right. I collect everything personally. It's yep. like I'm really into vinyl, but uh-huh. you know, action figures, magazines, comic books, KISS Hello Kitty. If it says KISS on it, I bought it. I just can't keep up anymore. It's like I can't afford it anymore. So
right, yeah.
you know, I want to focus on one thing. And right now it's vinyl, but
right, yeah.
my three favorite pieces, I got the Gene Simmons guitar, bass axe from KISS Cruise
right.
4. I got that signed. I got the Gene Simmons vault that was right, signed. That wasn't the vault. That was an amazing piece. Love it.
Oh yeah.
And the Paul Stanley painting.
Cool.
I got that on my birthday, actually. I bought that for myself for my birthday. So that's three nice. Awesome pieces, you know, it's like. Wow. And, you know, like, you know, I walk into my room, and for me, it's like, this isn't a collection. It's a collection of my memories.
That's right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what yeah. it is.
I know Paul had amazing stuff. I was in Atlantic City at the Hard Rock, and he had a big exhibition there of his paintings and, you know, stage gear and stuff like that. It was just wild just to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so, yeah. like, you know, a lot of... cool stuff.
Yeah. I'm in my living room right now interviewing you. Claudio is presently in Quebec City, so he's not at home, but usually his background says collection.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah
it's
yeah.
like he has an impressive collection himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Right, yeah, cool. What yeah, do you have? Well, I have
a decent collection. I'm not into so much into vinyl as Pasquale. I'm more into magazines and posters. You know, I'm more a kind of a graphic kind of guy.
Right.
Uh-huh. So then, of course, you know, I have some merch, you know, like action figures and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I have a lot of LPs from South America, you uh-huh. know, all of the editions, you know, from Argentina and some of the countries there. So that's, yeah, that's, but, you know, it's endless. If you want to keep up, it's impossible. And there's yeah. always something new coming up.
Right, right. What's your prize piece?
Well, I have to say that my prize piece it's photos with them. You know, to uh-huh. me, it has an emotional connection. You know, being able to meet the guys.
Right.
To me, being born in so far away from the U.S. To me, they were like untouchable. You know, I could never think that I was going to meet them. So that's why those are my precious items, my precious memories.
How about you, Pasquale? What's your prize possession?
Oh boy, there's so many. Listen, as a young kid, I was like 10 years old. I started collecting. I had a lot of the coin stuff from the 70s, and
right.
in the 80s, I checked out and got rid of all my KISS stuff, and I regretted it. So when I started collecting it again in 95, my main goal was to get back everything I threw out. So I have a pretty impressive collection of a coin merch, you know? But like Claudio, it's the memories, it's the pictures. Not necessarily with the band, but with the fans. Claudio and I just 2 weeks ago went to see Ace Frehley in Vermont, and we met Ace and his girlfriend Lara, and we interviewed Lara a few episodes ago, and we got to see them backstage. Took a picture with them, and I blew that up a 16 by 20, got it framed up on my wall. You know, that means so much to me. You know, being with one of my best friends, you know, sharing that incredible moment with Ace Frehley, for God's sakes. And Lara, it was like incredible. That is what it's about for me, connections with people.
I know my prized possession is I got four contracts from a coin, one letter going to each member of KISS. They had to sign it and send it back to them. So I have both parts, every band member with their original names on it.
Wow.
That
Right?
was the original contract when they signed the O'Coin. Oh boy, oh my God. Wow. Wow. That was really the beginning.
That was Gene Klein, Peter Criscuola, Stanley Eisen, and Paul Fraley.
Oh wow.
All signed in their real names.
You got those framed?
I do have them framed, but I recently had to take them out because I had to scan them for somebody because they're going to be using them. So you'll see them in the book.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, so like, I didn't want to take them out of the frame. I got white gloves on and I said, nah, touch it. No. No. Because if Ace and them touch it, I could get DNA off that and I can get it it's their name. So
Wow.
I'll send you guys on Facebook Messenger what they look like.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
That would be nice. That would be
Yeah.
nice.
Yeah,
Were
cool.
you close to Bill O'Coin? Were you kind of a close friends with him?
Not really, but I was familiar with him. But he would come to me and my friend Bill DeMild for inside KISS stuff. Like he knew about the management part and stuff like that. But he'd ask us questions. Well, how can I get in touch with this person? How can I get in touch with that person? How can I do certain things? And that's how I became friends with
Wow.
Bill Coyne.
So Claudio mentioned before, are you going to have any KISS members on your podcast? What is your criteria to select guests for your podcast? Is it really about, new bands and promoting them, or is it more than that?
Well, naturally, we have to focus on the more established people too, because that's how you bring in people who see your podcast. So, but our focus is mainly the new people. But definitely, you need like Iron Maiden or somebody in Iron Maiden or KISS or Motley Crue. They got to come on to get your own podcast more established. Right. So you can't just keep on doing the little guy because no one's going to come to you. You got to have, throw in a couple bigger names in there. Even Richie Scarlett, he's
Oh
great.
yeah.
He'll do your podcast, no problem. He's a great guy and, stuff like that. Todd Howard, he'll do it too. But when it comes to the main people in KISS, it's a little difficult, because, I mean, really, what can you ask them in 50 years that hasn't been asked,
But the problem with
So,
Paul and Gene is the answers are so scripted.
yeah,
It's hard to
yep,
get a real answer out of them, you know?
true, 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 true.
One of the guys who we all know that it's kind of really approachable. It's Bruce Kulick. So, are you interested in getting Bruce? Maybe
I
that would
did
be
him a
nice.
couple times. I did him a couple times already.
Oh, you're there already. Okay. You got him. Okay.
He's great too.
Yeah, he
You
is.
know, he's really good too. And what's good about him, he actually thinks about your question before he even answers. He's not like, he don't jump on it. He waits 10, 15 seconds, then he answers because I guess he's thinking of what kind of reply I got, which is appreciated because at least he's, you know, paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's cool, you know, mm-hmm. and he's a good guy too.
So, Brian, I want to close the curtain on this episode, you know, by saying that, and I said this a million times, you know, KISS has afforded me so many opportunities to meet amazing people and have multiple once-in-a-lifetime experiences. You know,
right.
KISS has enriched my life. I can't imagine a life without the band. Now, I know that you are a fan of the originals, checked out for the newer band. And we all know that you've had quite a remarkable career.
Right.
How has KISS, if at all, contributed to your career?
Money. Right? I was a big collector. And anytime I bought stuff, I bought two.
Right.
Okay.
And as time went on, right, as time went on, the products I bought were discontinued or you can't get them. So now I got two. Why am I going to hold two? I sold them, you know? So, like, and doing a KISS convention with my pictures. I just didn't sell KISS pictures at a KISS convention. You know, I photographed Iron Maiden, Twisted Sister, you know, Scorpions, Alice Cooper, you know, all these people. And I would just make little 3x5s. I didn't make 8x10s because 8x10s were about $3 to $5 each. A little, you know, small shot cost about a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm selling it for $1.50 to $2, and people are buying like 100. So I'm making a huge amount of money by selling just like snapshots.
Right.
So naturally, at a KISS convention, they're buying all the KISS ones first, and it's really interesting. And a lot of times when I did the KISS conventions, if I saw a kid, I don't know, I can't remember. I think his name was Anthony. And he was in a wheelchair, and his mother's name is Janice. And he was at the KISS convention, and he was in not good shape, okay? And me, I put a smile on his face. Mm. I said, Anthony, I got pictures of me and him too. What do you want on my table? I said, you pick whatever you want. If you want 10 things, take them.
Wow.
And his mother would say, you're not going to charge us? I said, just take them. Make them happy. Take them. You know, so like that was special to me.
Wow.
You know, I made a kid happy. And I'm sure KISS made tons of people happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just by signing things for them. So, you know, it's like just a regular circle. Like you got to make people happy or, you know, you're going to be known not in a good view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about, really. True. You know, paying it forward, doing things for other people,
right.
Building those connections. That's what it's about.
Yep. So
yeah. Speaking of those connections, what are your thoughts about KISS fans?
I really haven't met too many bad ones.
Right.
They're all great.
Okay.
You That's know, great. I mean, a lot, you know, a lot of them try to get close to you because of your name.
Yeah.
But that's okay too. That's okay. You know, if they like you and, you know, you could help them out in some way.
Why not?
Do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, okay, I really like to get that picture from you. Okay. I'll print it up. Take it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm not big on money, but I mean, naturally you need it. So, you know, I'm not, like things don't bother me if I give it away or not give it away. I'd rather make somebody happy.
Right.
So it's, you know, just as closing remarks, you know, it's first off, you know, thank you for your time. You know, thank you for making yourself available. And it's been a true pleasure, you know, to have you on the show. And keep it up. You know, it's congratulations on all of your projects that you're involved in. So you made many, many KISS fans happy too with your work. So it is the time to thank you. And well, again, let's as Paz was saying, let's hope that anytime soon our paths will cross. You know, maybe we're gonna meet. You know, in person, it's gonna be a pleasure. So thank you so much for being here with us.
Well, cool. I thank both of you, and I had a lot of fun. It's enjoyable. You know, just keep on pushing the name KISS out there, get more podcast people, and just have fun with it.
There you go.
Yep. Yeah.
No,
Thanks a lot.
like I said, it's really, you know, about meeting new people. And it's fantastic. I feel like I made a new friend today.
Right.
So thank you so much again for being on the show, for sharing your stories, your experiences, your wisdom. I love that. It's not about the money. It's about
Right.
giving back and making somebody happy. You know, as a teacher, as an
Right.
ethics teacher myself, I think that is fantastic. That we need more people like that in the world. We really do.
Welcome. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate the chat. Bye-bye.
Thank
Thank
you.
you so much. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
To the Kiss Army. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, please send them to talktome@kissarmynationpodcast.com. Until the next time, remember, never stop rocking. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and X. You can watch us on YouTube or listen to us on Podomatic, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. This is about you, so please like and subscribe to support the amazing guests we have on the show. See you soon, Kiss Army.